heals the 10 lepers. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God, and in a loud voice he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. Well, happy Thanksgiving. Doesn't seem like that is even close yet, but it is. Just this coming week, another Thanksgiving season, and here we are in the midst of the holidays once again. And as we begin this morning, I want to tell you about my friend Jesus and the fact that here in this gospel today, included only in this gospel, this story that is unique to Luke, Jesus is on another journey. And Luke always points out the journeys that Jesus is on, and here is no different. And this is 4th of 5 of the miracles that Jesus, or that Luke brings up. There's another one in chapter 11, chapter 13, 14, and chapter 18, and then 5th, including this one in chapter 17. And so Jesus is on his way between Samaria and Galilee. This miracle that we have here this morning is a miracle that is a double-edged sword. There is a double-edged cultural tension within this passage. Perhaps you picked up on it. Perhaps you already know about it. But it was very, very much in your face, if you will, as I read the scriptures. Number one is we've got 10 people with leprosy. That's number one. That's a big strike right there. That is a cultural tension that exists, for we know what happens with people with leprosy. They are basically quarantined. They are told to get away from people, not have any contact with people, to go and live on the outskirts of town where they're ignored, where they're outcast, where they're forgotten. Nobody wants anything to do with them for obvious reasons, because of contagion, for number one. And then also the second part of this is we've got one of these 10 that is a Samaritan. You picked up on it, I'm sure. And when he said that the one of them came back and he was a Samaritan, it seems a little odd, doesn't it, there in verse 16. In Jesus' loud voice, and then he says thereafter that he threw himself, this one, this Samaritan, at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And then there's a line there, and he was a Samaritan. That seems definitely out of place. Why was that important? Why was that included there, that he was a Samaritan? Well, it's also for emphasis in the story. Not only was he a leper, he was also a Samaritan. And we know that Jews and Samaritans did not like one another. They did not get along. They were considered half-breed. They were considered, they denied a lot of the religious beliefs of the Jews. And so they had this terrible relationship. There was a difference in race. And so yes, even in the scriptures, there was trouble with racism, as there still is today in this country, unfortunately. So the idea that a Samaritan leper could even approach someone like Jesus, the rabbi, the Jewish rabbi Jesus, was undoubtedly shocking to many people. How dare he come up and approach Jesus? How dare even these 10 lepers approach someone like Jesus? It was shocking. Because as I said, many of these people were written off. They were considered beyond help. Nobody knew what to do with them. And so They were outcasts. They were forgotten. But then Jesus enters the village. Hold on now. When Jesus enters the scene, all bets are off, right? Things change when Jesus enters the picture. When Jesus gets involved, all things are possible. And the fact that these 10 drew near him was a little bit scary in and of itself, because they wanted to protect the Old Testament law. They knew they had to keep their distance, and so they respected that. But it says they drew near enough to him that they were able to holler out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They were able to understand that they needed to keep that distance. And yet, they also seemed to have some idea of who Jesus was. They knew there was something special about him. They stood at a distance, calling him not only Jesus, but Master. Have pity on us. They knew something about him, perhaps from one of these other experiences that had gone on. We're not really told here how they know, but they have some inkling of who Jesus is. And leprosy, of course, a terrible disease. One, because it's contagious. But then the isolation that happens for these people. And I was thinking about, you know, years ago when I would have preached this sermon, I wouldn't have known about COVID. And I thought about that as I read through this passage again and prepared this message. You think about those times when we were intentionally kept away from large crowds. We were kept away from people. That's one thing that I could think of that we might have in common here, but in a much different way. And certainly if you got COVID, if you contracted COVID, then you had to be quarantined. You had to stay away from people. Remember that? I do. But the lepers, they asked Jesus for mercy, and one of them was a Samaritan. This cry that they had for pity was one for someone to have compassion, someone to acknowledge them, someone to see them, someone to hear them. They needed someone. And society threw them out like a piece of garbage. Do you think that still happens today?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think it does. But they cried out. And those kinds of cries to Jesus, they come frequently. People are always calling out to Jesus. And Jesus is always willing to respond. Jesus is always right there, ready. These people, these 10 lepers, they want to be cured. No doubt they're tired of having a dreadful disease. No doubt they're tired of being ignored and outcast by society and no one taking care of them. They had to be beggars. And here they are, and finally, someone pays attention to them. There's no doubt here that Jesus wants to be that person. Jesus wants to be that individual who shows compassion to these 10. Jesus is that person that wants to show compassion to all of you and to all the world today as well. And those of us who come to him, those who came to him here, they found relief even from a distance. Isn't that interesting? I think it is. I think it's interesting that they stood at a distance, not only because of the physical reasons that they stood, but also because of the fact that even at a distance, Jesus can perform his miracles. Jesus can still be there, even if he's not right up close. He's right there. It doesn't say that Jesus reached out and touched them. He didn't do that. He didn't like those TV evangelists, you know, that you see on TV, and there's a person there in front of the preacher, and there's a couple of deacons behind him, and all of a sudden, in a loud voice, the TV evangelist goes, "Be healed!" You know, and the person falls down and has some kind of seizure or something on the spot. Nothing like that happened here. I don't know that I've ever read anything in the scriptures like that. And so Jesus, from a distance, did not touch them because of the law. He couldn't. He knew that. And he did not say to them, "Be healed." But he says to them what is also a part of the law, "Go now and show yourselves to the priests." That was what you had to do when you were cleansed. You had to go and have the priest say, "Yep, you're purified, you're clean, you're good, you're all right, you're ready to get back into society." Like we go to a doctor today and they say, "Yep, here's medicine, go home, rest for a few days, then you can go back to work." That's what happened here, but in a much, much different way. "Go show yourself to the priest as the law commands," in the book of Leviticus. You don't go to a priest unless you've already been cleansed. You can't go to a priest and say, "Hey, give me a get out of jail free card here. I'm tired of this leprosy thing. I want a different life." Did not work that way. Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priest. He says to them, "Go." Many times in Scripture, Jesus tells us to go. And in this scripture, it's no different. Jesus tells these 10 lepers, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." He didn't say anything more to them than that. I'm sure they were expecting some kind of a touch, some kind of a word, some kind of something from Jesus, because they cried out to him, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Well, he had pity on them, but not the way perhaps they expected. I think it's that way for us too. We cry out to Jesus for pity. We cry out to Jesus for attention, for a prayer request, something that we need assistance with, and it doesn't always turn out the way that we think it's going to turn out. And yet, he still reaches out to us, and he tells us to go and do something. That means that we have to do our part. And these 10 had to go and do their part. You and I have to go and do our part. You see, Jesus later would say at the conclusion of his earthly ministry, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them, teaching them, and everything. And remember that I am with you always to the very end of the age." So Jesus tells them to go. And as they were going, I circled that in my Bible, as they were going. So in the midst of the action that Jesus instructed them, out of their obedience to the command of Jesus to go, as they went, they were cleansed. Some versions say healed. This says cleansed. I like the fact that it says cleansed, and I'll explain that to you here in a moment, while I think there's a big difference between the two. And so as they turn, all 10 of them must have realized right away that something had happened. Something was different. This is an event. This is a time in which they took note of God's grace, God's goodness, God's healing power. God had pity upon them. And the healing that took place, the cleansing that took place, it gave them a new start. It gave them a new opportunity. This is God's grace. That's what God's grace does. It gives us a fresh start. It gives us a new opportunity. It allows them to return back to normal life. But it says they were cleansed. I think that means physically. They no longer had leprosy. They were cleansed of that. You could say they were healed of it. You can still make that argument. I'm not saying that they weren't healed physically. They were healed physically there. But I think there's more to this passage. I think there's the fact here that they had the opportunity to be forgiven of their sins. And that's what people thought too, that they had this dreadful disease because they were some sinners. They had something wrong with them. They had a chance to be forgiven, but they also had a chance to be made whole. They had the opportunity for completeness in their heart, in their soul, in their mind. Now the story changes here pretty dramatically now in the fact that one of them breaks from the group and he returns, and it said he is full of praise. You know, like Trace did. Let's go to church. We got to go to church now. All right? He is coming back and he is praising God. It was time for him. There wasn't anybody that was going to stand in his way. He was going to see Jesus. And when he found Jesus, when he went back to him, and we don't know how long it was, but he went back to Jesus and he fell at his feet. And he worshiped him. He praised him. He thanked him. He offers thanksgiving for the cleansing. And again, Luke notes in this passage, and he was a Samaritan. The racial roots that were involved there, as I said, were considered to be a mixed breed from when the Israelites were in Egypt, enslaved there, and some of the people remained, and they intermingled and intermarried, and they were referred to as half-breeds. Jesus then notes that 10 of them were cleansed. 10 men were cleansed, but only one, and again he points out, this foreigner, this different guy, this one that's not like us, he's the one that came back. We're not there 10, and yet this foreigner come back. A foreigner would indicate in this time and in this context that he was a pagan, that he was a heathen, that he's somebody that didn't follow the law as he should or the way the Jewish people thought. And so he was considered to be a half-breed by his race. He was considered not to be a very religious person. So Jesus points out he was a Samaritan. Jesus points out that he was a foreigner. There were two things that were very, very different about him from all the other 9. And Jesus asks him this question. Were not there 10 that were cleansed? Where are the other 9? Where are they? Where'd the other 9 go? Jesus does 2 things simultaneously here. He commends the one, the foreigner, the Samaritan. He commends what he has done because he's the one that returned. He's the one that stopped what he was doing while he was going, or maybe after he came back, but he came back. He came back to Jesus, and Jesus commends him for that. And he shows that his response is not only for the Jews. Jesus here indicates what Paul would later talk about, that there is neither Jew nor Greek nor Gentile. We're all one in Jesus Christ. Jesus is already working on that. By the example that he sets here and the various examples that he sets throughout Scripture, everyone is welcome at the table, is another way to say it. This foreigner, this Samaritan, this one outside the nation that is not like us, he's welcome. And then Jesus issues a final condemnation when he says this, and these words are so key. He tells him to rise. So another action, get up. He tells him to go. Again, another action, rise, get up, go, because your faith has made you well. While the others went out of obedience to the command of Christ to go and show themselves to the priest, they were cleansed along the way, but this one who came back to say, Thank you, praise God, I'm healed. Thank you so much. Jesus gives him the ultimate gift. Not only a physical cleansing, but here Jesus provides to him a healing. And I think there's a huge difference between these two words, and even in this scripture. He says that he has been saved. There's a salvation connotation here, that this man was saved because he came back and because he praised God and he returned thanks to him. He was made whole. He was made well, not just physically in his body, but his very soul, his very heart, as God created him and intended him to be. You see, that's what Jesus does. When we go and we return thanks and we praise him, he gives us that opportunity to be made whole, to be the people that he would have us to be, complete and made in his image. The presence of salvation is definitely here. And if you look at chapter 8, verse 48, and chapter 18, verse 42, you'll see that. Your faith has saved you. So there were 10. There were 10 that were healed. Jesus affirms that greater than the physical healing, the Samaritan received and experienced wholeness. He experienced salvation. The Samaritan, of all the 10, found out what this miracle really meant, what it really stood for. Beyond this physical healing came spiritual healing and wholeness. And I would venture to say that unless gratitude is part of our nature, we can't be whole. We can't be complete. Yes, it's a good thing that in our country we pause to have a day of Thanksgiving. But that's not what this is about. This is about a lifestyle, a continued lifestyle. Go, rise up and go. Be thankful. Have a thankful attitude. The other 9 were merely healed, were merely cleansed. You can almost think that ingratitude was worse than leprosy. And so, in that regard, they'd probably be in a little worse shape, wouldn't they? At least in Jesus' eyes. The picture that we have here is of Jesus as a compassionate person, a compassionate God. And he continues to minister to anyone who would reach out to him. If a Samaritan leper can be healed, if a Samaritan leper can experience salvation from Jesus, a Jew, he doesn't turn anybody away. When people cry out to him, he's always there. He's always ready to answer. It's important to realize that Jesus helped the outsider, and I don't want to lose track of that. I don't want you to lose track of that. It's important that we gather here for corporate worship. It's part of who we are. It's part of what's required of us as Christians to worship. But Jesus reaches out to those that are on the outskirts. Jesus came not to save those that were already saved, those that already were part of the church, if you will, but those outside the church that didn't yet know him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, the scriptures tell us. He came to seek and to save those which society and culture had cast out and thrown out, forgotten about, because they were a different race, they were from a different country. They didn't look like us, they didn't act like us, they didn't talk like us. Any of this sounding familiar to you? They had no family, they had no job, they had no home. They had no village. They had no place to belong. When Jesus tells you to go in that great commission, he's telling you to reach people like this. He's telling you to reach people like this foreigner, like this Samaritan, that society has overlooked. I'm proud of our church and the way that we reach to our community. I believe at our heart, we're truly a community church. I believe that this church in this community has a heart for Greenville and Bond County. I believe that because we put our actions out there. We offer core community at this church, and I've said these things, but I only have a few more weeks, and I'm going to keep pounding them until I walk out of here. We have core community that meets here, people that are struggling with budgets, finances, how to write resumes, how to get jobs, how to find friends. We offer that here at First Baptist Church. For years, we've offered a community clothing closet. Get it? Theme here? Core community, community clothing closet to people that lose their homes to a fire, which we had recently, and we've had many times through the years. We have people that are poor, that can't afford to buy clothes, but come here for gently used and good and brand new clothes in some cases, and they're able to find those here. They find compassion in Jesus. Because First Baptist Church has a heart for the community. And at our community table, where 146 people showed up, it's been a long time since we had those kind of numbers. God is doing something exciting within this church. Do not let go of that. Do not let lose sight of that in these days and months to come. We are a community church that cares about people like this in this story. And so the Samaritan stopped. He turned around. He expressed his faith in Jesus. He appreciated his restoration to life, and he expressed his gratitude to God. And it was ultimately his faith, that is faith in Jesus Christ, that saved him. Not his works, but he came to faith in Jesus Christ. That's what saved him. Our hearts need to commune with God, and it was perfect that Kimmy talked about that this morning. Amen. I do believe we need to be part of a church, for sure. But to be able to find that space alone when we need it is important. It's very important that we commune with God, not only corporately, but also personally. And that we express our praise and that we express our gratitude to him. And when we praise God, when we sing, when we shout hallelujah, whatever it is, we are saying to God that we want a relationship with him, that we appreciate him. We're giving him honor. We're giving him praise for who he is and for what he's done. Praise allows us to cleanse our attitudes. And we all need to do that from time to time, to put our attitudes in check. Because this life can give us some messy stuff to deal with and give us a bitter attitude. Praise allows us to recount God's goodness. Friends, God is to be honored at Thanksgiving. Praise is often, yes, collectively, and we've done that here this morning, but we've also heard from one within our body that you need to do that personally, and I couldn't agree more. Many of us have swallowed the bitter pill that society has cast our way and said, take this. We move too hectically through life. The other nine just went on their way as if nothing ever happened. Seemingly, we have no record of it. But the one stopped and he turned around and he made time for Jesus. I want to encourage you this Thanksgiving and Christmas season to stop. Stop. Turn around. Take time for Jesus, personally and corporately. You see, the reaction of the nine not returning to thank Jesus shows how often that we tend to take for granted what God does for us. We just go on as if, yeah, it's all good. We just keep on, moving hectically through life. But because of what Jesus did for us, we can be gentler, we can be kinder, we can be a more grateful people. The Samaritan stopped. He stopped to recognize that God was at work in his life, that it was more than just a physical healing. And in turning back to Jesus, he showed that he personally appreciated what was done for him. In return, the Lord gifted him with even more. He healed him. He healed him. And because of the man's faith, he was saved. The Samaritan made the right choice. What choice will you make? You see, people were outcast in biblical times, just like they are today. Jesus was approachable. Jesus is approachable. Jesus is approachable even from a distance. If you're here today and you really aren't sure what I'm talking about, you really haven't seen it happen before, look from a distance. Cry out to Jesus from a distance and begin to see what he'll do for you. Those who cry out for compassion from Jesus are also ones that receive it. So have you cried out to Jesus lately? Have you asked him for forgiveness? Have you went to him with praise and thanksgiving in your heart? If you come to Jesus, you're going to receive far more than any physical healing that you could ever imagine. Some of us will struggle with our physical ailments for our entire rest of our lives here on this earth. And some of us will grow bitter about it and will resentful. And I agonize and I empathize with you. But I remember the good words of my grandma, who lived to be 98, who struggled with arthritis. And every day she got up, she just kept getting up. And she told me many times, honey, she said it'd be a lot easier for grandma just to lay there in bed. But when I get up and when I get moving, it's amazing how good I feel. Amen. God was good to her, and God's good to you. You may still struggle with some physical ailments and some things in this life, some difficulties, but God's been good to you. You can't deny it. Give him thanks and give him praise. Take time out, not only at this Thanksgiving season, but every day, to give thanks and praise. So as we begin this final chapter in our lives as pastor and people together, I want to say thank you. Thank you to all of you. My family are grateful for the years that we've spent here together in ministry that have shaped us, helped us to grow closer to Christ, to depend upon him more. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the relationship that we have together. And while we've had a bump here or there, it's been pretty smooth sailing here. Amen. You've provided a strong witness to this community. Amen. People see that. People talk about that. Don't ever get discouraged by that. You think you're too small or you're not big enough, you don't have enough money. Don't worry about it. Keep doing what you're doing, because God will be blessing you. I've experienced a lot of joy, but more importantly, just think of the joy that God has when he smiles down upon this congregation. That's more important. That's most important. And think of all the others that, because of your faithfulness, that have drawn closer to God, that have met God for the first time, that are still out there on the outskirts, kind of watching from a distance, trying to decide what they're going to do. They're finding a place here where they can be safe and where they can find welcome. Don't stop doing that. But for us, let us always be mindful that we need to stop our busyness, that we need to continue to always return to Jesus, just like this foreigner, this Samaritan. Turn back to Jesus and work at always drawing others closer to him. Give him the praise and express your thankfulness to him each and every day. So for the 14th and final time as your pastor, I want to wish you and your family all a blessed and joyful, happy Thanksgiving. God bless you. Amen.